Welcome here to celebrate our divine office on this remarkable feast of St. James, which even takes precedence over our usual Friday penance and things like that for most of us. St. James, son of Zebedee and brother of St. John the Apostle, was born in Bethsaida. He was present at most of the miracles performed by Christ and was put to death by Herod around the year 42. He's especially honored at Compostela in Spain, where a famous church is dedicated to his name. So again, this probably is the one mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles, James the Greater. Wonderful day! We have one of these feasts of one of the 12 apostles, or even one of their apostolic men or women, collaborated with them at least once a month, sometimes twice a month. So it's always a very precious and happy occasion to look back to the foundation of the church and consider the events that shaped it in the lives of these people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Probably try to do the full divine office today rather than the shortened form. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Come, let us sing to the Lord, all the earth. Come, cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing for joy. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us, we belong to him. We are his sheep, we are his people, the sheep of his flock. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. I picked this psalm for our shortened divine office part today, and we'll also do two additional ones to make it full. Protect me, my God, from those who rise up against me. Psalm 59. Rescue me, God, from my foes. Protect me from those who attack me. O, rescue me from those who do evil, and save me from bloodthirsty men. Protect me, my God, from those who rise up against me. See, they lie in wait for my life. Powerful men band together against me. For no offense, no sin of mine, Lord, for no guilt of mine, they rush to take their stand. Awake, come to my aid and see. Lord of hosts, Lord of armies, you are Israel's God. Rouse yourself and punish the nations. Show no mercy to evil traitors. Protect me, my God, from those who rise up against me. Each evening they come back like dogs. They howl and roam about the city. They prowl in search of food. They snarl till they have their fill. See how they gabble open-mouthed. Their lips are filled with insults, for who, they say, will hear us? Protect me, my God, from those who rise up against me. But you, Lord, will laugh them to scorn. You make light of all the nations. O, my strength, it is you to whom I turn. For you, O God, are my stronghold, the God who shows me love. O God, come to my aid, and let me look in triumph on my foes. Protect me, my God, from those who rise up against me. God, kill them, lest my people be seduced. Rout them by your power, lay them low. It is you, O Lord, who are our shield. For the sins of their mouths and their lips, for the curses and lies that they speak. Let them be caught in their pride. Protect me, my God, from those who rise up against me. Destroy them, Lord, in your anger. Destroy them till no more are left. Let the world know that you are the ruler over Jacob and the ends of the earth. Every evening they come back like dogs. They howl and they roam about the city. They prowl in search of food. They snarl till they have their fill. Protect me, my God, from those who rise up against me. As for me, I will sing of your strength, and each morning acclaim your love, for you have been my stronghold, a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, it is you to whom I turn. For you, O God, are my stronghold, the God who shows me love. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Protect me, my God, from those who rise up against me. Thank you for all the good things that you have done and are doing for me, Lord. Thank you for the past good and the future good. Their voice has gone out to the limits of the earth. As he was walking along, he saw Jesus saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and he called them. Immediately they left their nets and their father and followed him. You shall drink the cup that I shall drink, and you shall be baptized as I am baptized. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became fearful and began to tremble. The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day takes up the story, and night unto night makes known the message. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became fearful and began to tremble. No speech, no word, no voice is heard, yet their span extends through all the earth, their words to the uttermost bounds of the world. There he has placed a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom coming from his tent, rejoices like a champion to run its course. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became fearful and began to tremble. At the end of the sky is the rising of the sun. To the furthest end of the sky is its course. There is nothing concealed from its burning heat. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became fearful and began to tremble. King Herod began persecuting certain members of the church. He beheaded James, the brother of John. That's the verse from the story in Acts that I mentioned earlier. The story in the Acts of the Apostles where James the Greater is arrested and Herod cuts off his hand. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. King Herod began persecuting certain members of the church. He beheaded James, the brother of John. God chose us in him before the world began to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us to be his adopted sons through Jesus Christ. Such was his will and pleasure that all might praise the glorious favor he has bestowed on us in his beloved. King Herod began persecuting certain members of the church. He beheaded James, the brother of John. He predestined us to be his adopted sons through Jesus Christ. Such was his will and pleasure that he might praise the glorious favor he has bestowed on us in his beloved. In him and through his blood we have been redeemed and our sins forgiven. so immeasurably generous is God's favor to us. God has given us the wisdom to understand fully the mystery, the plan he was pleased to decree in Christ, a plan to be carried out in Christ in the fullness of time, to bring all things into one in him, in the heavens and on the earth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. King Roy began persecuting certain members of the church. He beheaded James, the brother of John. And for our short reading, which is going to be these two verses from Ephesians, Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in roles of service for the faithful to build up the body of Christ, till we become one in faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, and form that perfect man who is Christ come to full stature. And we're going to read the longer reading, only longer two readings from the Office of Readings if we can. Again, I lament that we don't have enough of these special readings. I would have loved it if the church picked a passage from the Epistle of James. But, you know, we read this big feast, on a big feast every month, and there's like only one or two readings in the Common of Apostles, and then you have some proper readings for like St. Luke. He has a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, which is one of the books of Scripture that he wrote, or was the primary author of. I wish they would do that for some of the other apostles, because gosh, this is a wonderful passage, but you read it a lot. A reading from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. Let us imitate the apostle just as he imitates Christ. And it's a really good passage for understanding what the apostles went through and what the apostolic life is about. But it's not really necessarily as easy. You know, I kind of wish we had some other stories in there that we could read lessons on each time. Men should regard us as the servants of Christ, as servants of Christ and administrators of the mysteries of God. The first requirement of an administrator is that he prove trustworthy. It matters little to me whether you or any human court pass judgment on me. I do not even pass judgment on myself. Mind you, I have nothing on my conscience. But that does not mean that I am declaring myself innocent. The Lord is the one to judge me, so stop passing judgment before the time of his return. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and manifest the intentions of hearts. At that time, everyone will receive his praise from God. Brothers, I have applied all this to myself and Apollos by way of example for your benefit. May you learn from us not to go beyond what is set down, so that none of you will grow self-important by reason of his association with one person rather than another. Who confers any distinction on you? Name something that you have not received. If then you have received it, why are you boasting as if it were your own? At the moment, you are completely satisfied. You have grown rich. You have launched upon your reign with no help from us. Would that you had really begun to reign, that we might be reigning with you. As I see it, God has put us apostles at the end of the line, like men doomed to die in the arena. We have become a spectacle to the universe, to angels and men alike. We are fools on Christ's account, but in Christ you are wise. We are the weak ones, you the strong. They honor you while they sneer at us. Up to this very hour we go hungry and thirsty, poorly clad, roughly treated, wandering about homeless. We work hard at manual labor. When we are insulted, we respond with a blessing. Persecution comes our way, we bear it patiently. We are slandered and we try conciliation. We have become the world's refuge, the scum of all. That is the present state of affairs. I am writing you in this way not to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Granted you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you have only one Father. It was I who begot you in Christ Jesus through my preaching of the gospel. I beg you then, be administrators of me. No, become imitators of me. I don't know what my problem is sometimes. Responsory prayer. I no longer call you servants, but my friends, for I have shared with you everything I have heard from my Father. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been revealed to you. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I have shared with you everything I have heard from my Father. And our second reading is proper, specific to the Feast of James the Apostle. It's from a homily on Matthew by St. John Chrysostom. Chrysostom meaning golden-mouthed bishop. The sons of Zebedee press Christ, promise that one may sit at your right side and the other at your left. What does he do? He wants to show them that it is not a spiritual gift for which they are asking, and that if they knew what their request involved, they would never dare make it. So he says, "You do not know what you are asking. That is, what a great and splendid thing it is, and how much beyond the reach even of the heavenly powers." Then he continues, "Can you drink the cup which I must drink and be baptized with the baptism with which I must undergo?" He is saying, you are talking of sharing honors and rewards with me, but I must struggle and toil. Now it is not the time for rewards or the time for my glory to be revealed. Earthly life is the time for bloodshed, war, and danger. Consider how by his manner of questioning he exhorts and draws them. He does not say, Can you face being slaughtered? Can you shed your blood? How does he put this question? Can you drink the cup? Then he makes it a track he gave by adding, which I must drink, so that the prospect of sharing it with him may make them more eager. He also calls his suffering a baptism, to show that it will effect a great cleansing of the entire world. The disciples answer him, "We can." Fervor makes them answer promptly, though they really do not know what they are saying, but still think that they will receive what they ask for. How does Christ reply? "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with my baptism." He is really prophesying a great blessing for them, since he is telling them, "You will be found worthy of martyrdom. You will suffer what I suffer, and end your life with a violent death, thus sharing all with me. But seats at my right and left are not mine to give. They belong to those for whom the Father has prepared them." Thus, after lifting their minds to higher goals and preparing them to meet and overcome all that will make them desolate, he sets them straight on their request. Then the other 10 became angry at the two brothers. See how imperfect they all are, the two who tried to get ahead of the other 10 and the 10 who were jealous of the two. But as I said before, show them to me at a later date in their lives, and you will see that all their impulses and feelings have disappeared. Read how John, the very man who hears asks for the first place, will always yield to Peter when it comes to preaching and performing miracles in the Acts of the Apostles. James, for his part, was not to live very much longer, for from the beginning he was inspired by great fervor, and setting aside all purely human goals, rose to such splendid heights that he straightway suffered martyrdom. And I guess maybe the Epistle of James is probably the other James, probably James the Lesser. Responsory prayer. These men, while on earth, founded the Church of Christ with their own blood. They drank the cup of the Lord and became the friends of God. Their voice has gone out to the limits of the earth, their words to the ends of the world. They drank the cup of the Lord and became the friends of God. Te Deum. Or we could just go forward to our intercessions and Canticle of Mary. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must become the slave of all. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all. Comment of Apostles' Intercessions. My brothers, we build on the foundation of the Apostles. Let us pray to our Almighty Father for his holy people and say, be mindful of your Church, O Lord. Father, you wanted your Son to be seen first by the Apostles after the resurrection from the dead. We ask you to make us his witnesses to the furthest corners of the world. Be mindful of your Church, O Lord. You sent your Son to preach the good news to the poor. Help us to preach this gospel to every creature. You sent your Son to sow the seed of unending life. Grant that we who work at sowing the seed may share the joy of the harvest. You sent your Son to reconcile all men to you through his blood. Help us all to work toward achieving this reconciliation. Your Son sits at your right hand in heaven. Let the dead enter your kingdom of joy. Prepare the way for our continuing vocational discernment. Teach us to discern again aright. Help us to trust in you. I pray for Henry's intentions, for him to find academic success and protection in a job. Pray for Bill's intentions, for him to be protected from evil and granted peace and healing. I pray for all the intentions of all those who are listening and for all of our online communities of persons with their various intentions and as much as they are part of God's will. God's perfect plan, I mean. Be mindful of your Church, O Lord. What do we have time-wise? We have a little bit of time left, so maybe we can actually do a tiny bit of the Diary of Faustina. But first, let's pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions, which again have to do with how we must learn again how to discern, how to free our hearts from things that lead away from Christ, and to also discern in general where he's calling us. Why? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And the Our Father from the Divine Office, gathering all prayers, spoken and unspoken into one, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Almighty Father, by the martyrdom of St. James, you blessed the work of the early church. May his profession of faith give us courage, and his prayers bring us strength. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Faustina writes, O my Jesus, you have tested me so many times in this short life of mine. I have come to understand so many things, and even such as now amaze me. Oh, how good it is to abandon oneself totally to God and to give Him full freedom to act in one's soul. During the third probation, the Lord gave me to understand that I should offer myself to Him so that He could do with me as He pleased. I was to remain standing before Him as a victim offering. At first, I was quite frightened, as I felt myself to be so utterly miserable and knew very well that this was the case. I answered the Lord once again, I am misery itself. How can I be a hostage for others? I do not know. I do not understand that you do not understand this today. Tomorrow, during your adoration, I will make it known to you. So again, this prophetic word seems to be something where Faustina feels very distinctly that God or Jesus is speaking into her heart in a very direct way. You do not understand this today. Tomorrow, during adoration, I will make it known to you. My heart trembled, as did my soul. So deeply did these words sink into my soul. The word of God is living. When I came to the adoration, I felt within my soul that I had entered the temple of the living God, whose majesty is great and incomprehensible, and He made known to me that even the purest spirits are in His sight. Although I saw nothing externally, God's presence pervaded me. At that very moment, my intellect was strangely illumined. A vision passed before the eyes of my soul. Interesting, right? What does it mean to have a vision pass before the eyes of your soul? It was like the vision Jesus had in the Garden of Olives. First, the physical sufferings and all the circumstances that would increase them. Then, the full scope of the spiritual sufferings and those that no one would know about. Everything entered into the vision. False suspicions, loss of good name. I've summarized it here, but this knowledge was already so clear that I went through. What I went through later on was it no different from what I had known at that moment. My name is to be sacrificed. When the vision ended, a cold sweat bathed my forehead. Jesus made it known to me that even if I did not give my consent to this, I could still be saved. And He would not lessen His graces, but would continue to have the same intimate relationship with me. So that even if I did not consent to make this sacrifice, God's generosity would not thereby be lessened. And the Lord gave me to know how the whole mystery depended on me, on my free consent to the sacrifice, given with full use of my faculties. In this free and conscious act lies the whole power and value before His Majesty. Even if none of these things for which I offered myself would ever happen to me, before the Lord everything was as though it had already been consummated. At that moment I realized I was entering into communion with the incomprehensible majesty. I felt that God was waiting for my word, for my consent. Then my spirit immersed itself in the Lord, and I said, Do with me as you please. I subject myself to your will. As of today, your holy will shall be my nourishment, and I will be faithful to your commands with the help of your grace. Do with me as you please. I beg you, O Lord, be with me at every moment of my life. So again, it's a really heavy thought, but it's a very interesting thing to consider that God was already going to give her a choice. God told her that she could freely accept or reject, that God told her that He wouldn't take away His graces or His, or quote, intimate relationship, as she put it, or interpreted it with Him, if she refused a life filled with so many sufferings. Didn't necessarily say that she would be able to become the secretary of divine mercy and influence millions of other people if she didn't put up with the sufferings. But it's just real interesting to consider that idea. What did it take Faustina internally to not just say yes, but to actually join with God's will and desire in this? Because God loves us so much, and yet has incorporated into the freedom that we have and the freedom that interacts with other people's freedom, the option that even oftentimes people suffer greatly. Even the great friends of God suffer greatly sometimes. And sometimes they appear as if it's worthless suffering. You know, Faustina during her life was not, even going into the time after she died, was not somebody who was well known like Mother Teresa or Padre Pio. She was obscure. She was forgotten. She could have seemed pitiable to some people. Even the cardinals put her diary. This diary was once on the index of forbidden books. It was once forbidden for Catholics to read. It was an unapproved private revelation, or a private revelation that was regarded with suspicion or contempt, the way Garvin Daniel is today, for example, just to draw a comparison. And then, you know, in the 60s, everything changed. Everything changed for Faustina, and it started opening up after her death. But during her life, she seemed as if everything was just a waste, you know. So here we go. I mean, all the sufferings and everything, not her life, but all the sufferings would have seemed just, they wouldn't have seemed meaningful. Bless God, I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for the soul in purgatory, second soul, second plenary indulgence, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.